Be'ez Hashem, tonight we'll talk about being a role model for your children. We'll begin with a quote from Rav Volba. Rav Volba in Zriul Binyan writes, "Hachiyuv hagodo shel ha'hayrim hu l'shamesh dugma." The greatest responsibility that parents have is to set an example for their children. In Al Eshur, Rav Volba writes about the responsibility that parents have not to set a bad example for their children, and he describes this responsibility as an achrayis atzuma. Now let's analyze Rav Volba's choice of words. Achrayis atzuma does not just mean a great responsibility or an important responsibility. It's true that that's part of what achrayis atzuma means. It is a great responsibility and an important responsibility to set a good example of proper behavior for your children and not to set a bad example for them. But achrayis atzuma has additional connotation. The shemesh of the word atzuma is etzem, which has a connotation of the concept of essence. You use the word atzuma to describe something that relates to an object's essence. Rav Volba is saying that the responsibility to set a good example is not just a great and important responsibility for a parent. It is a responsibility that is rooted in the essence of what it means to be a parent. To be a parent is to set an example of good behavior, of proper behavior for your children. If you don't set a good example for your children, you are not just deficient in one of your responsibilities as a parent. You are deficient in that which defines you and identifies you as a parent. And why? Why is it so important for parents to set a good example of proper behavior for their children? Why is being a good role model such an integral part of parenting? So in Zriul Binyan, after writing that the greatest responsibility that parents have is to set an example for their children, Rav Volba elaborates, "Kol yeled Reitze ba'oifen tivi lehizdahis im hayrav v'lachkais aysam." Every child naturally wants to identify with his parents and imitate them. This is human nature. The most powerful tool for chinuch that exists is a natural part of the makeup of every child. Every child is born with it. The same way that al pi derech hateva, you can expect that if you feed your child healthy food, he will grow and flourish physically. If you are a proper role model for your child in ruchniyistika matters and in matters of character, your child will also grow and flourish in ruchniyis and in character. The idea that children learn how to behave by emulating their parents is not Rav Volba's Chiddush. It's a Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkah says, "Shusa de yanuka b'shuka, oy de avua, oy de ime." The speech of a child in the street comes either from his father or from his mother. When you see a child acting or speaking, you can be confident that whatever he's doing, he learned by imitating his parents. The Gemara doesn't say that he learned it from his rebbeim. He didn't learn it from his friends. He didn't learn it from the gas. Not even from what his parents taught him. He imitated his parents. That's how children learn. A man once came into Yeshiva Chaim Berlin with his child for davening. And during the davening, this father spent a lot of time correcting and admonishing his son. So after the davening, Rav Huttner asked him what he was doing with his son during the davening. So he told Rav Huttner, I was trying to be mechanech, my son, to daven properly. So Rav Huttner told him, you're making a mistake. If you want to be mechanech, your son, to daven properly, you daven properly. Your son will see you davening, and he will imitate you, he will emulate you. He will learn how to daven properly by watching you daven properly. All that you accomplished was that Emir Tzashem, when your son grows up, and he has a son, he's going to bring him to shul, and he's going to torture him in shul. That's all that you accomplished today. A Talmud of Rabbi Yishvei that was a Magid Shir once was speaking to him about things that he wanted to tell his Talmidim. Rebellia told him that things that you're holding by, your Talmidim will accept from you. If you're not holding by something, your Talmidim are not going to accept it from you. We're going to discuss a number of different things, and if holding by means that you've mastered something, then it's going to be very short. I'm sorry. There's not going to be much that I can tell you. But if working on something qualifies as holding by, so then I hope that the things that we'll talk about will be in the Skabel, will be accepted. So let's talk about some of the practical applications. First is the obvious. We have to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. We have to daven properly. Those of us that are not zeicha to be in Beis Medrash a whole day have to be kaveitim to learn. We have to conduct ourselves with derech eretz, with midas tovus, with consideration for people. We have to avoid ever doing anything that we would not want to see our children doing. But it's not just what you do and what you say. It's also your attitudes. The history of Yiddishkeit in America in the late 19th century and the first half of the 20th century is well known. The overwhelming majority of the Yidden that immigrated to America from Europe during those years, if not by the first generation, by the second generation, were completely lost to Yiddishkeit. There was no chinuch for children. Most of the people, because of the pressure of Parnassa, worked on Shabbos. So by the next generation, almost everything was gone. There were some people, a small minority, that were successful. That was a very small minority. But there were some people that were meiser nefesh not to work on Shabbos. And someone once asked Rav Moshe, why is it that these people that were meiser nefesh not to work on Shabbos, even so, their children went away from Yiddishkeit? Why weren't these parents successful in conveying to their children the value of Torah and mitzvahs. So Rav Moshe explained that it was very common for people to express themselves by saying "Sheshver Tzayin Ayid." Yes, they were Meisu Nefesh, not to work on Shabbos, but then they would say "Ay Sheshver Tzayin Ayid." This was emblematic of their attitude. It wasn't just what they said, but what they said represented their attitude towards Yiddishkeit. Their attitude towards Yiddishkeit was that it was a burden, that it made life difficult, that they suffered because of it. So is it any surprise that their children ran as fast as their feet could carry them away from that? The children learned from their parents' attitude. They saw what their parents' attitude was, and that became their attitude towards Yiddishkeit, and they ran away from Yiddishkeit. There are other types of attitudes that we should need to pay attention to also. Everyone would like the children to have a positive attitude. Now, what does a positive attitude mean? A positive attitude is one of those expressions that has been so overly used and misused and abused that it's almost totally meaningless. There are three aspects of a positive attitude that are important to pay attention to and to address. There's a positive attitude ben adam lamakom, a positive attitude ben adam lachaveray, and a positive attitude ben adam laatzmai. A positive attitude ben adam lamakom means emuna, that everything that happens in this world is directed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and betochen, that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for our good. For example, think about the economy. The economy is something that for many people is very frightening, is a matter of great concern. The stock market, oil prices, the cost of living. It's valid reason to be concerned. Who knows? Who knows what the next day is going to bring? Who knows what's going to be next tomorrow, next week, next month? But as a frum yid, we need to look at it with a different perspective. We need to look at it with the perspective that the Ribbono Shel Olam is directing the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam fit the Welt. And everything that Ribbono Shel Olam does is for our good. And therefore, if we look at it with that perspective, then it's a whole different picture. Then we don't need to be worried and to be anxious. We can have betochen that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of us. And even when it sometimes touches close to home, even when a person is worried about their job or worried about their business, but the Ribbono Shel Olam directs everybody's situation, and the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world on an individual basis for every single person, that whatever happens to them is what's best for them. That's what having a positive attitude ben adam lamakon means. A positive attitude ben adam lachaveiroi means having an ayin tova. Look at other people in a positive way. Sadly, there are some people that whatever they see other people doing, they always look at it and interpret it as in a cynical way. They always look at it that people are doing things for their own benefit, for selfish reasons. That's how they look at the whole world. They say that Rav Palm's mother never spoke Lashon Hara. Now, in those days, they didn't have the Shmiras HaLashon campaigns that we have today. The reason that Rav Palm's mother never spoke Lashon Hara is because she never saw anything to bear to say about anybody. She had an ayin teiva. Whatever she saw was good. Whatever it was good. Now, we don't have to be naive. We can't ignore the reality that people are not perfect. And we have to protect ourselves. There are people that do things that can be damaging to us or to people that we care about, that we're responsible for. Sometimes through negligence, sometimes through krumkeit, sometimes through negiyus. But that does not mean that we have to be cynical and assume that everything that other people do, they're doing because they're out to get us or take advantage of us. This is one of the areas of life where we need to find a balance. And there are many areas in life like that, and this is one of them. We have to find a balance between looking at other people with an ayin teiva and still, when it's necessary, take steps that we have to do to protect ourselves. And it can be done. A positive attitude means having a positive attitude about the jobs and chores of everyday living and the jobs and chores that are necessary to care for a home and for a family. There's a lot of work that's needed to run a household and run a family. And many of the things are not as pleasant as things that we would like to be doing. This is especially true for the woman of the house. Most people don't enjoy cleaning house, doing laundry, and washing dishes. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov are times that are at risk for being even more stressful. It's a time that people feel harried and harassed with all the different things that have to be done before Shabbos. It's very easy to start feeling burdened and to start feeling resentful. But this is a trap that we have to avoid at all costs. It's poison for our children to see us displaying an attitude of resentment towards household jobs and chores, especially something that's related to Hadavar Shebekdusha, like preparing for Shabbos. Rabbi Yoma Brzezinski tells a story about a Yid named Yisrael Meir Hyman, Zecherno Lavracha, and Yibadal L'chaim, his wife, Rebetzin Hyman. This is a story that actually came to light after Rabbi Hyman was Nifter and his wife was sitting Shiva for him. A woman came into the house to be Menachem Avol, and Rebetzin Hyman thought that she looked familiar, but she didn't recognize her. It was no surprise. She had been the Menahelis and Tag for many years. During that time, many girls passed through the school. So if it's someone that had been a student of hers in school, it was no surprise that she didn't recognize her now as an adult. Sure enough, when Rebetzin Hyman asked her who she was, she introduced herself as a former student. And she told Rebetzin Hyman, "Whatever I am today, whatever I have today, I owe you." And then she explained herself. She said that at one point, when she was a student in the school, she was going through a very difficult time. She came from a home that was not a healthy environment. She was at a crossroads in her life. And it wasn't at all clear to her what direction she was going to go in. During that time, she had an occasion to come to Rebetzin Hyman's house on a Friday afternoon. She described that someone came to the door and let her in. She said that Rebetzin Hyman was not aware that she had come into the house. And she described how she was standing and she could see into the kitchen, and she saw that Rebbe Sondheimer was preparing for Shabbos, and that her husband, Zecheinu Levracha, was in the kitchen with her, and he was helping her. He was washing dishes. He was helping prepare for Shabbos. And she saw that it struck her that it was obvious that they were having a very pleasant time, that they were talking, laughing, enjoying each other's company. And she said, they weren't sitting and having a coffee. They weren't sitting and relaxing on a couch. They were working. They were preparing for Shabbos. They were doing chores, getting ready for Shabbos. But it was pleasant. It wasn't a burden. They weren't feeling resentful that they had to be in the kitchen getting ready for Shabbos instead of being able to sit and relax, take a nap, go for a walk. So what this woman said is, when she saw that, she said to herself, this is what I want for myself. This is the type of home that I want to have when I grow up. And she told Rebbe Sondheimer that it was because of that that she now has a Torah Dikah home, and that she has a family that she's bringing up in a Alpi Torah. It's because of that experience. Life doesn't always go perfectly smoothly. Sometimes there's minor bumps in the road. I'm not talking about, chas v'shalom, serious problems that we should know from. I'm talking about minor mishaps and setbacks. The car doesn't start. A day you plan for a family outing, it's raining and bad weather. You're on your way to a simcha and there's bad traffic, or you get a flat tire. Life. It's very important that our children see that we take these type of mishaps and setbacks in stride. We don't become overwhelmed. It's not a crisis. It's not a cause for panic. It's not the end of the world. We do whatever we have to do to deal with the situation, and we go on. That's also part of a positive attitude of Bein Adam La'atzmai. Now let's take it a step further. You have to act and speak in ways that set a good example for your children. You have to demonstrate attitudes, which means you have to live with attitudes that set a good example for your children. But it doesn't stop there. If you have values and hashkafas that you believe in, and you want your children to believe in those values and hashkafas, and I certainly hope that you do, you have to be a role model for your children of those values and hashkafas. Now, how does that work? How can you be a role model of values and hashkafas? Do your children have Ruach HaKodesh that tells them what you're thinking and what your beliefs are? Is there some sort of magic that gives your children the ability to know what you're thinking and what your beliefs are? The answer is that they don't need Ruach HaKodesh and they don't need magic. Your children are able to see the values and hashkafas that you believe in and you believe to be important by how you act and how you speak and the decisions that you make. And they will emulate you. If you truly believe in those values and hashkafas deep in your heart, where nobody else goes and nobody knows, if those values and hashkafas are rooted deeply and firmly in your heart and your soul, that is the most powerful tool that exists to transmit those values and hashkafas to your children. And if you think you're smarter than everybody else, and you can tell your children something and expect, do as I say and not as I do, you're fooling yourself. Even if you think you can hide the fact that you don't truly believe in the values and hashkafas that you want your children to believe in, it's inevitable that at times you're going to slip and reveal your true beliefs. Also, children are very perceptive. And even if you don't slip, and even if it's only subconsciously, they are going to pick up on what you truly believe and what you think. Abraham Lincoln, I think, is the one who said, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I would add to that, and you can almost never fool your children. One of the most effective ways to actively transmit and give over your values and hashkafas to your children is by telling them stories and divrei Torah on occasions like the Shabbos table. If you believe strongly in the values and hashkafas, as we are discussing, so aside from the main point that we're addressing now, which is to be a role model for them, your effectiveness when you tell them stories and divrei Torah will be much more successful if you truly believe these things. Every public speaker knows, every teacher knows, that the ideas that are delivered with passion and enthusiasm and excitement are transmitted successfully. Those are the ideas that go, that get through. Dvarim hayotzim min halev, nechnosim el halev. Now let's talk about some examples of this idea. You want your children to be a ben Torah. You want your children to be bnei Torah, right? That's a rhetorical question. I'm assuming that the answer is yes. But ask yourself, do you truly believe in the primacy of Torah? Now we all know the Ma'amarei Chazal, that Bereishis is b'shvil Torah shenikra Reishis, nistako bar raiso bara alma. And we all know that the pinnacle of human achievement is to become a gadol b'Torah. We've heard these and shmuzim from our rebbeim and our rosh yeshivas and mashgichim when we were in yeshiva, and we've heard this. We've heard these things in drushes from our rabbonim and from darshanim as adults. But do we know this just intellectually? Or do we believe it the same way we believe that if we take a pen and we drop it, that it's going to fall to the ground because of the laws of gravity? Do we believe this the same way we believe the laws of nature? You want your child to be a Yoreh Shamayim. But have you done an emunah check lately? What's the status of your zehiras b'mitzvahs and yiras chet? In the terminology of Rav Dessler, wherever your nekudas habechira is, everybody knows where they're holding, what they're working on, what they need to address. What about avas Hashem and avas mitzvahs? When you put on tefillin tomorrow morning, are you going to be putting on tefillin with the same enthusiasm and excitement that you did when you were Bar Mitzvah Bacher, when you first put on tefillin? The next time you see a Bar Mitzvah Bacher coming to shul to put on tefillin for the first time, take a minute and go and watch him and see if you can capture some of that enthusiasm and that excitement for yourself and hold on to it. You want your children to be a Balmidas Tavis? But how considerate are you of others? How careful are you to always treat people with Derech Eretz? Do you return phone calls? Today, you return a phone call to somebody and they're surprised. Wow, you returned my phone call. Common courtesy. How about your driving habits? Are you careful not to double park? When you park, are you careful that you leave room for the guy next to you to be able to open his door and you're not taking up two parking spaces? When you go into the supermarket and you stop to take something off a shelf or to look at some prices, do you push your cart over to the side? Or is your cart there in the middle of the aisle blocking everybody from getting by? Are you one of the people that come into the supermarket and put your shopping cart online to hold your place and then go fill it up one thing at a time, and meanwhile your shopping cart is holding your place online for you? How good are you at making decisions based on what's right, rather than how it appears to other people? What about Ehrlichkeit? And I'm not just referring to something that you're doing together with your children, that when you take them to the amusement park, that to make sure to say the truth about their age. What about if you're filling out forms for a government program, or if you're filling out an invoice or a timesheet? Because don't forget, you have to be consistent when you're not in front of your children. Because if not, then you're not going to be able to keep up the act. You can't live one life b'chadrei chadarim and a different life in front of your children. It just doesn't work. And whether you look in the Sifrei Musar, or Lahavdol, if you go to the people, the self-improvement experts, wherever you look, you will see that what you do, the actions, your actions, and the way you speak, affects what you feel and what you believe and what you think. And then what you feel and what you believe and what you think is affects how you act in other places. What about Avos Yisrael? And I'm not just talking about Avos Yisrael for somebody who's chas v'shalom, a hostage in a basement somewhere by in the hands of terrorists, or someone who's sitting in jail because of some over-enthusiastic prosecutor with an agenda. I'm talking about Avos Yisrael that you need to have when you go into the supermarket and somebody else's shopping cart is blocking the aisle. This is one of the places where we have to live with a double standard. We have to conduct ourselves with consideration for other people. But when we see other people doing things that we don't approve of, we have to live with a double standard, and we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're having a hard day, maybe something's going on, and they're under a lot of stress. That's what Avos Yisrael demands from us, requires from us. What about Kavanat Torah and Emunas Chachamim? Do you have a Meira Derech and people that you respect as Talmidei Chachamim? Or are you one of the cynics that nobody is good enough. Who are your heroes? Who do you admire? What types of accomplishments or success stories do you identify with and do you get excited about? When you hear about somebody that did something that was a Kiddush Hashem? Or do you get excited when you hear about somebody that pulled off a successful business deal? Or someone that built a nice house? Or someone that made a nice simcha? Is that what you come home talking about? So it's not just about what you do and what you say in front of your children. It's also about what you think and what you feel and what you believe in. Children are very perceptive, even if only subconsciously. They cannot be fooled. They will always know what your true values are.